Well, our sermon today is based on the continuation of the reading we heard earlier from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. God, thank you for sending us messengers who bring us words of hope and peace and possibility. Okay, technically, this is not the first Sunday of Advent. That's next week. So why am I preaching on this decidedly adventurous text? I'm not jumping the gun so much as I just want to make sure we hear and learn all about the angles and angels of Advent as we journey through this holy season. It all began with an angel. This is not the first time the angel Gabriel made an appearance in the Bible. Gabriel was the mighty messenger of God who appeared to the prophet Daniel more than 500 years before the events described here in Luke's gospel. Daniel had seen a vision of rams and goats and horns, but he couldn't understand what it meant. Then someone appeared standing before him, and he heard a human voice calling, "Gabriel, help this man understand the vision." Gabriel was one of the four great archangels. The other three are Michael, Uriel, and Raphael. His name meant, "God is my strength." Gabriel came near where Daniel stood, and Daniel became frightened and fell on his face. But Gabriel said to him, "Understand, O mortal, that the vision is for the time of the end." Gabriel returned to Daniel another time. He came to him in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice and said to him, "Daniel, I have now come out to give you wisdom and understanding." He explained some of the signs of the end times to Daniel. These signs and prophecies were very troubling to Daniel, but Gabriel assured him God would send him comfort and strength and keep him safe. After that, there was a long, long stretch of quiet and rest for Gabriel. He next appeared to the priest Zechariah and then visited Mary. Gabriel seems to be God's go-to guy. Whenever there was some important message to take to someone on earth, God entrusted Gabriel with it. How excited Gabriel must have been to finally receive another assignment after such a long time of waiting. As he told Zechariah, Gabriel stood in the presence of God. Gabriel had a front row seat to witness God's work in the world. He had been waiting for God to give him the go-ahead to let the world know it was time for God's promise of a savior to be fulfilled. So at last, Gabriel embarked on a journey from heaven down to earth. He was eager to deliver the message God had given him. Perhaps as he streaked through the skies like a comet toward Jerusalem, he kept thinking or even saying, at last God's plan was being set in motion. At last he could give the world a word of hope. After 400 years, he was glad he didn't have to wait any longer. God had chosen the exact right time to send him on his mission. Gabriel knew something we all should be aware of. There is no rushing God. Gabriel was blessed to stand in God's presence, but he was not privileged enough to go to God and say, "Yo, great God of the universe, don't you think it's time we let loose the Messiah? Why don't you send him now?" Gabriel knew there was nothing he nor any other angel, and especially no human, could do to force God's hand or make God do something before God felt it was time. Even now, we have people in some circles who think that something they do here on this earth will make God act before God decides to act. That's one important lesson we learned from Gabriel. It's patience. He knew God would one day turn to him and say, "It's time." He knew he had to wait on God, and he knew he couldn't give God a nudge or a nag asking, "Is it time? Is it time?" Gabriel was patient, and his patience was rewarded, as ours will one day be. So at long last, Gabriel began his journey. He went first to Zechariah, the high priest. Zechariah didn't know it, but he was part of God's plan for the world too. As a priest who studied the scriptures, he was well aware of God's promises to send a Messiah, but he probably never dreamed he would have the honor of helping make the promise a reality. God wanted to send a herald to give the world a preview of the Messiah. God wanted someone to prepare the way for him, to alert the people to his advent. "See," God said, "I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." That messenger would be Zechariah's own child. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had longed for a child of their own, but now they were both old and it looked like this blessing would never be bestowed on them. They were resigned to that fate. They not only had to endure their own anguish and shame at being childless, but everyone else's pity and possibly scorn as well. People probably thought, if they were so righteous before God, as Luke indicated, why didn't God give them the greatest possible blessing, a son of their own, to carry on Zechariah's name? People may have been outwardly sympathetic to them, but no doubt some people inwardly inquired, what have they done wrong that God has set this curse on them? Because in that culture, to be barren was a curse. So when Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and told him that after all these years, he and Elizabeth would have a child, Gabriel expected Zechariah to react with joy and thanksgiving. "Here is proof, Zech, that your prayers have been heard. You may have stopped praying for a child, but God heard your prayer and waited for just the right moment, this moment, to answer it. You and Elizabeth are going to get the child you've wanted for so long, and not just any child. He's going to be great. People will be overjoyed at his birth. He will be the one to get people ready for the coming of the Messiah. He is going to be the herald for the Messiah, a definite honor." Zechariah, isn't that great news? Well, isn't it? After Zechariah got over his initial fright, the common reaction of people unexpectedly accosted by an angel, he got kind of sassy. Well, sometimes when we're frightened, we aren't always able to recover and be eloquent. With his head swirling with the promises of God as described by the angel, Zechariah finally spoke up. He asked a rather impertinent question. "Oh, yeah? Well, how am I supposed to know this is really going to happen?" After his long wait and his long journey, Gabriel certainly didn't expect to run into derision or doubt. He didn't expect to be questioned or challenged. He expected Zechariah to rejoice and maybe even laugh, as did Sarah, the ancestress who had been barren for so long like Elizabeth, and finally had her son Isaac when she was 90 years old. Gabriel seemed indignant, if not downright insulted, by Zechariah's defiant demand. What did Zechariah think? He'd made this journey of his own volition, but God had sent him. Maybe Gabriel gestured around the incense sanctuary where the two of them stood as if to say, "Zechariah, you're only here in a model, a prototype of what it's like to be in God's throne room, but I've seen it for real. I am always there. I have a place of honor there. How dare you doubt me?" Did Zechariah think Gabriel was making all this up? Did he even think Gabriel was a bad angel? As if an evil angel could come into the holy sanctuary of God. Gabriel hadn't come all this way for nothing. Gabriel hadn't flown with high hopes just to have Zechariah shoot him down. disbelief was inexcusable. "I am Gabriel," the angel thundered. "Perhaps you've heard of me?" "Yes, I am the same Gabriel that appeared to the prophet Daniel." "Furthermore," Gabriel said, "now I'm going to teach you about doubting me, doubting the very angel that stands in the very presence of the very God who has made this plan and graciously included you in it. You want to talk trash to me? How about you not talk at all until this miracle comes to pass, until your son John is born?" Zechariah was struck mute. Gabriel apparently had the power of imposing such a stark physical sign on someone when he deemed it necessary. He didn't consult with God. "Should I shut this guy up, Lord?" He made the proclamation. Zechariah was stifled, and God was okay with it. When Zechariah insulted and doubted Gabriel, he in essence insulted and doubted God. Remember how your mother always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all? Zechariah learned his lesson. 6 months later, Gabriel embarked on another journey to another person whom God had chosen to include in the world-changing arrival of the Messiah. I wonder if Gabriel looked over the earth with God as God searched for just the right person to be the mother of the Messiah. How about her, God? How about that girl named Mary who lives in Nazareth? She's a sweet girl, pious and sincere. How about her? However the decision was made, with or without Gabriel's input, the angel went to visit her right away. She shared a similar reaction to Gabriel's appearance as had Daniel and Zechariah. She was frightened and troubled. She was probably thinking, "Why me? Why have I been chosen? Why am I favored? I'm just a poor girl from a poor village." But then her initial uneasiness changed quickly into excitement. "Wow, God has noticed me. God has seen me. God wants to use and include me." Unlike Zechariah, she recognized the honor that was being offered to her. Like Zechariah, Mary had a question for the angel. How can this be? But in contrast to Zechariah, she probably spoke with awe and intrigue, not with doubt or disdain. Her question was more along the lines of, "It sounds impossible, but I'll do whatever it takes to make it happen." Gabriel was pleased with her answer and her openness. He described what would happen, that the power of the Holy Spirit would overcome her and impregnate her. Nothing will be impossible for God to do. Gabriel reminded Mary of Isaiah's prophecy and told her she was now an integral part of it. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Mary believed. She offered herself, heart, soul, and womb to God. She placed her faith and her fate and her hope in God. Gabriel was surely pleased with how well things had gone with this visit. Just as God turned to Gabriel at the right time and said, "Go now," so too in God's own time, not ours, God will one day turn to Jesus Christ and say, "It's time. Time to return to God's people. Time to wrap up all the loose ends and bring in God's kingdom." This time, Jesus will not come as a babe in a manger, but as a redeeming Savior. Jesus came to us the first time at the right time. He'll return to us at the right time. Just wait and see. We are always in Advent, because Advent is not just about the past. Advent is all about the future, too. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the angel Gabriel, who comes to bring us wisdom and understanding and good news. As we await the advent of your Son in our lives and in our world, grant us patience and the faith to know that you will send Jesus Christ to us again at the right time in the right way. So we continue to sing, "O come, O come, Emmanuel." We, your people, stand ready to greet you.